Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Good morning, church. It's great to be with you today. I really believe God has got a word for you this morning. We get to start or revisit, as Pastor Neil said earlier today, a series called Legends and Misfits. And over these next few Sundays, you will hear some of the greatest stories ever told. Everybody loves a story, but I've noticed that everybody can tell stories differently. Just like me and Deborah, when I come home from work and Deborah asks me, how has your day been? I'll give Deborah probably some highlights and bullet points, the main events of the day. But if I ask Deborah how her day has been, she tells me every single detail of the whole day. Every incident, everything that she noticed, everything that the person said that she spoke to, everything that she's seen on the way. I get all the details, whereas I just give the main headlines. You know, over these past few weeks, we've been out in the car with Daniel and we've been trying to get him or encouraging him to take a nap. And what we've done is we've just got in the car and we've just head out in a particular direction and we've just waited to see where the road takes us to. And we've ended up in some places in this local area that we've never seen before, on some roads that we've never realized, and we've ended up in destinations that we never even knew existed. I wonder what would life be like if we focused more on direction and less on missing details. At this time, I'm sure you've asked yourself a question like, what is going on? What is happening? I wonder if you've been wondering about the details of what's going to happen in the next few weeks or the next few months. But you know, when you know all the details, you are in control. But when you don't have many details to go on, you really need to trust and faith in God. And I believe that's where God wants you to live your life. That he wants you to live your life not with you in control, but with him in control. And you depending and relying upon him. Now you're saying right now, Daniel, if you knew what I'm going through, if you knew the struggles and the challenges that I have in my world, a few more details would be really helpful to me. Well, I want to talk to you today about how you can trust God even when you don't have the details. I heard recently Glenn Barrett say this. He said, faith is not knowing what the future holds, but knowing who holds it. You know, in the Bible, the legends of the Bible lived by faith. In the New Testament, we have Paul who tells us that we are the people of faith that are called to live not by sight, but by faith. Jesus demonstrated and showed us how to live by faith. Can I ask you today, are you living by faith? Maybe this week, can you think about something that it took faith to do? Can I ask you even, is there something that you're putting off because it's going to require faith, it's going to take a bit of risk? Or maybe you're watching me and actually, faith is all you've got. You have tried everything. You're in a place where you are completely relying on God. And I'm sure you'll recognize at times that can be a scary place, but can I encourage you? That's a safe place because you are in the hollow of his hands and he promises to protect you and he promises to care for you. By faith, living by faith is not an excuse just to put your feet up and be lazy. Actually, it's actually a lifestyle, which means that it's an adventure. It's quite exciting. For example, if you were preparing for a test and you didn't do any revision, when the test came, more than likely you won't perform well. That would just be laziness. But when you give it your best shot and you do all that you can do and you wait for that results to come, you have your faith that what you've done, God is going to reward it. In the Bible, we hear of a man called Abraham. Abraham is the par excellence of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, we know it as the Hall of Faith. It's where we hear of great exploits that legends, Bible characters did. And the writer explains that all they accomplished was by faith. But Abraham is given the most attention in this chapter. God appears to Abraham and calls him to leave his family and his homeland to go to a new home, a new land. And he tells him a great promise that I'm going to bless you, that you are going to become the father of many nations. But the challenge at this point is that Abraham and his wife Sarah were advanced in years and they had no children. It seemed that the promise that God gave to them would be impossible. You know, it only took a few months for Abraham to get from his home to the promised land, but it took over 25 years before they would have a son called Isaac. But along the journey, Abraham had faith in God. And we read in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, these words. It says, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. What an incredible example of faith when you don't know the details. Can I just share a couple of lessons from this legend who teaches us about God and having faith in him? The first thing that he teaches us is that Abraham understood that God gives direction, he doesn't give details. When God called Abraham, he didn't tell him all the details and the potential challenges that were up ahead for him. Never mentioned famines, that you'd have to flee to Egypt. Never mentioned that there would be a struggle with Hagar and Ishmael. Never mentioned Sodom and Gomorrah. Never mentioned the challenges that he would face. And I guess if Abraham knew the details, we would excuse him for staying at home. But notice, Abraham didn't ask for details. He just accepted the direction that God called him in. I remember when I sensed that God was calling me to go into ministry, the first step with that would be to go to Bible college. And for me, I was on a run on Fraserburgh Beach, running away from my hometown of Fraserburgh, when I just sensed God call me and say these words, just follow me. And I was aware that yes, there will be challenges, but I knew the direction for me was to leave from home. And for me, that was enough. I didn't need any more details. I only needed to know that God was calling me. And if I knew the direction, that would be sufficient. And my prayer as I've been studying this week is that wouldn't be just a story from a number of years ago, but that would be my daily life. All I need is the direction that I need to go. And I'm going to trust God with the details. See, when we try to follow God, or you may do this like me, you pray and you ask God for specifics and details, or the plan and the outcome, when God only promises to give us the direction. You know, in Proverbs, we hear this famous verse that we all quote in chapter 3, verse 5, and it says this in verse 6, though, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. See, it's our responsibility to submit to God, to trust him, to obey him, and he promises to show us the direction. God gives you enough to respond to, and we have to trust him with the rest. Over 400 years later, after Abraham, the people of Israel are released from captivity in Egypt, and they take 40 years to get from there before they entered into the promised land. It took 40 years for them to be prepared for the promise that God had for them. You know, God is waiting for you. He has given you the direction that you need to go in, and he's waiting for you to put your trust, your faith, and obedience in him. God is waiting for you to begin the great adventure, following him into the great unknown. Have you ever tried to give directions to someone and they found it really difficult to explain how they are going to get to their destination. Now this actually happens quite a lot here in Peterhead Town Centre. You'll probably know that our Apex Centre is located on Broad Street, part of the one-way system here in Peterhead. And often delivery drivers will stop and say, hey, how do I get to Marshall Street, to Queen Street, to Chapel Street? And if you're not a local, it's quite difficult to explain to them how to get their way around the one-way system to get to their destination. And if I'm being honest, sometimes it's almost easier if I was just to show them. And you know what, today I want to tell you about, I think, another lesson that Abraham demonstrates to us, is that God shows us the way, he doesn't share the why. You know, there's a one-way system in our town, and I think God sometimes is a bit like this as well. There's one way, there's God's way, and until we acknowledge and recognize that and work that out for ourselves, we just feel lost and helpless because we are in control. I want to remind you today that God shows you the way, but he doesn't always share the why. All Abraham had to go on was what he already knew about God and the promise that God gave him. Likewise, that's all we've got as well. Our faith in Jesus and the promises that he has given to us. But if we're honest, a lot of times we're asking why. Why is this happening? And to be fair, in a time like this in our world, it's quite an understandable question to wonder, why is this all happening? What is the point? What is all going on? But God never promises to tell us why, but he has shown us the way we are to go. See, in the Old Testament, God's people are seen to be following God on his way. In the New Testament, Jesus spoke about a narrow way. And also, we learn about how the first Christians in the book of Acts were described as followers of the way. And of course, in John chapter 14, Jesus defined himself as the way, the truth, and the life. And I wonder today, you're watching me and you're confused. You're maybe feeling like you don't know the way. Well, can I tell you, Jesus is the way. And if you want to know the direction that you should be going on, then you need to get to know the way better. That is, you need to invest in your relationship with Jesus. The more you get to know him, the more you will learn about his way. And if you live according to his way, you're going to live in his will. That's what Abraham discovered. When he lived according to God's ways, he was in God's will. If you want to live in God's will, well, follow the way of Jesus. That's the Jesus way. What's the Jesus way? It's faith in him. It's living every day in his strength with your faith in him. God promises to show you the way, but he doesn't always share the why's. Recently, we've all become familiar with test and protect. When you've been into a restaurant or even into our church, you've had to give your details at the door, and then you go in and you enjoy your meal or you enjoy the activity or service. We've all came familiar with that, but you know, God has always been testing and protecting you. God is always waiting to see how we will respond to the challenges in our lives. And he promises that he's going to protect us in our future. I guess one of the best ways that we see this and most clearly in Abraham's life was after his son Isaac is born, and that's an incredible journey which we don't have time to go into today, but early in his life, God asks Abraham to do something remarkable. He asks him to sacrifice Isaac to him. It seems a really strange story, but God was testing Abraham, and he wanted to know, do you love me more than the promise? See, up on that mountain, they built the altar, and just before Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, God intervenes and says, Abraham, Abraham, do not lay a hand on him, but now I know that you fear God. I wonder today, like Abraham, do you love God more than the promise. You see, Isaac represented not just the promise, it represented Abraham's future. In chapter 12, God asks Abraham to leave his past, his home and his family, all that he ever knew. But now in Genesis 22, he's asking him to surrender his future. I wonder, believer, you've most likely had a Genesis 12 moment where you've surrendered your past. But have you surrendered your future as well? I wonder today, what's on the altar of your life? Have you surrendered your future? You recognize there is an uncertain time ahead. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds it. And can I encourage you to be someone who lives by faith and your trust is in God? Like Abraham, have a moment, not just a Genesis 12, but a Genesis 22. I heard an illustration quite recently about the U.S. Army. And some of the officials in the army were quite concerned about the performance of the parachutes that the soldiers were jumping out of airplanes with. And they were really concerned because they weren't performing very well. So they had an idea. What they did is they spoke to the people on the ground who were packing the parachutes. And they said to him, look, we're going to change things up here. What we're going to do is you guys are going to still pack the parachutes, but you're also going to go up in the airplane and jump out of the plane and test the parachutes to make sure that they're working. Do you know that the performance of the parachutes went up exceedingly well? You know, it's one thing to pack a parachute here on the ground and give it to someone else to jump out of the plane. But when you're packing your own parachute and you have to get on the plane and you have to go up into the sky, and the only way to find out if that parachute works is you've got to take a step out of the plane. See, that's real faith. That's not just saying that I think this parachute's going to work okay. I believe that God can do this. It's actually saying I'm going to take God at his word and I'm going to prove it. It's the kind of faith that took for Peter to step out of the boat. It's the sort of faith that it takes to, when God says, follow me, even though you don't know the details, you trust him enough to take that step. Believer, I want to encourage you to follow the example of Abraham. Even when he did not know the details, even when he did not understand why everything was happening, he just followed the direction. He followed God's way. That's what Hebrew tells us. He didn't even know where he was going, but yet by faith he followed, he obeyed and went. I wonder, how could you do that this week? What's going on in your world right now? What's the situation that it's going to take faith, it's going to take a little bit of risk, it's going to take a little bit of, you've got your parachute on, you've got the promises of God, you know everything that he says, but you've still got to jump out the plane. Can I encourage you to do that this week? You know, in Mount Moriah, after that moment where God intervenes and Abraham passed the tests, Scripture tells us that in the thicket there was a ram. And the ram was used as the sacrifice on that occasion. It took the place of Isaac. And you know, in Mount Calvary, Jesus was, as we know, a crown of thorns upon his head. He was nailed to a cross and he became the sacrifice. He took your place and he became the sacrifice for your sin. And I wonder if you're listening to me today, watching me, and you've never made a decision to begin a relationship with Jesus, then I want to encourage you to do that today, because when you do, you'll start to follow the way. And if you follow the way, you'll begin to live in the will of God. So I want to give you that opportunity. You say, Daniel, I recognize that I've made mistakes. I regret the things in my life. You know, that things are rubbish in your heart, the things that make you feel so guilty. So the Bible calls sin. But the good news is that when Jesus was upon the cross, not only did he take your place, but he took your sin. And he became the punishment so that today, by faith in Jesus, you can begin a relationship with God. And he'll help you live this life here on earth, but he'll welcome you into his presence for all eternity. So if you're listening or watching me right now, I want to give you this opportunity to begin a relationship. And it starts with a sincere prayer of commitment. Can Can you just follow me? Just repeat these words from your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you. You came into this world, that you died upon the cross, you took my place, you took my sin. I recognize I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I repent of my sin. I ask you to be my Lord. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Make me into a new person. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Apex family, can I encourage you to follow the example of Abraham? God has given you the direction. He doesn't promise to give you the details. He showed you the way, and he doesn't promise to tell you the whys. But you can, like Abraham, by faith, trust and obey.